Welcome to Kickstart the Conversation, where we talk about all things entrepreneurship, marketing, and business growth. Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Well, then you've come to the right place. Here on Kickstart the Conversation, we have real, honest conversations about what it takes to build a successful business in today's world. No fluff, no BS, just real talk about the challenges and opportunities that come with being an entrepreneur and growing your business. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned business owner, we've got something for you. From expert interviews to actionable strategies you can implement immediately, we'll help you get clarity, build momentum, and achieve your goals. So sit back, relax, and get ready to kickstart the conversation with your host, the Quiz Queen, Catherine O'Leary.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Kickstart the Conversation. I am very excited to have Anne Heshen in the house today. Anne and I have met recently at a retreat, but we have been in each other's kind of orbit for a couple of years. Never really quite connected, but kind of like, you know, like I was at an event with her husband, actually, in New Orleans, and we connected there, and Anne and I actually got to connect, which is awesome, just recently. And she is here today to talk about something that some of you may not want to talk about, but need to talk about, because it's like the lifeblood of your business, which is, you know, the four letter word sales, well, with an S. But Anne is the woo-woo sales expert who helps healers, coaches, and solopreneurs who have amazing gifts for the world but are allergic to sales. She created a six-figure energy healing practice and has millions in sales, and she'll help you to confidently grow your business without ever feeling fake, pushy, or salesy, which we all hear all the time, that I don't want to feel like I'm a used car salesman because it's icky, and I don't know how to make an offer that's not icky. And how do we take the ick out of sales, Anne?
I'm getting icky just when you talk about that.
I know, right? And now I need a shower. Yeah.
That's okay. I mean, there's a lot of ways. I mean, gosh, there's so many ways I could answer that question, right?
Yeah.
On the one hand, you know, one of the ways is like you don't put the ick in the first place. And we can sit and talk about that. However, the reality is it's kind of already there, right? Like the listening that you are speaking to, the filter that you're speaking to, the filter that we all just culturally have about sales is mostly negative, right? Used car salesman, pushy, salesy, needy, deceptive, manipulative, all of those, right? We could go on. I do this as an exercise, and I have people just like spit out all this stuff, and we put it like in a word cloud, and it's like,
Oh yeah. It's all icky words. Yeah.
Right. So we all have that to one degree or another. Even if you're like me, and I used to be allergic to sales, used to, you know, be terrible at it and hated the idea. And now I love sales. So that transformation is possible. But even for me, who I love sales, if I have a sales conversation come up, I'm like, great. You know, like I get to connect with someone. I get to see what's going on in their world. I get to see if I can help them. And if I can't, you know, help them with what I do, I can recommend something else. And like, that sounds so great. Right. So that's how I relate to it. Even I still got some of that negative stuff. It's still there. Right. Because, but even more so, I know it's there in who I'm speaking to. So we can't, do you know what I mean? Like you can't just pretend, I'm just going to be positive about sales. And so in the back of your mind, you're going to be like, but they're not.
Yeah.
And so I think you just have to be aware of that, right? That's what's going on, and not pretend that it isn't. And inside of that, there's a place to be powerful with it, and to be different. And one of the things I want to say, if I asked anybody listening, you know, tell me about some horrible sales experience that you had, And I mean, being sold to, we could also talk about times you fell flat on your face and doing sales, but being sold to, everybody could come up with some stories, right? The, you know, telemarketer at dinner time, the used car salesman, the whatever. We've all had experiences where someone was, they were pressuring, they weren't listening, they weren't paying attention, they weren't really trying, you know, they were just trying to sell something and not, without really knowing whether it was what we needed, right? We've all had that. But we've all had great sales experiences too.
Yes.
Right? We've all had people that were awesome. You would send your mom back to that person to buy from them, right? You, that's like my gold standard. Would you send your mom to this person? Right? They
that's
listen.
A gold standard, 100%. Yeah.
Right? They listened to you. They were genuine. They were like being a real human being with you, but they also knew what they were talking about. They weren't just real friendly. And it's like, you know, think of a waiter or waitress who is a salesperson, right? In some ways, like sometimes you have someone and they're great and you really like them, but they actually don't know what they're doing. They screw up your order. You're like, well, I like them, but right. Yeah. So you don't want that in a salesperson either. You don't want them to just be friendly and nice. You also, you know, they need to know their stuff. They need to be able to speak to that. But you can tell when they know their stuff. They take the time to find out what you need. They ask questions. They listen to the answers. They really make recommendations based on what you need. They educate you so you actually have a better sense of the thing. You know, maybe you came in thinking you wanted this and they genuinely help you see, not just because it's more, it might even be less expensive, but it's a better fit, right? So we've all had those experiences too, right? And so one of the things I think is really important to do is to keep reminding yourself about that.
Yes.
And be like, that's how I'm going to do sales.
Which ends up feeling like a consultation.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's what my sales calls are called. They're consultations.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, people are still, and we talked about this briefly before we got on, like people still have, like they're looking for help because they're in pain, right? Yeah. They do have a problem and they're trying to find a solution to said problem.
Sometimes it's something very urgent and very painful and awful. My roof is leaking right now, you know, yeah. Or my body hurts. And sometimes it's something not as urgent, but it's a problem for them.
I think that the shift that I'm seeing with a lot of how we're talking to our ideal clients now and how we want to be interacting is building that relationship. And you talked a lot about asking questions, but listening to the answers and then offering solutions, like not going in with a cookie cutter solution to say, okay, here's, you know, you have this problem, I have the solution, here we go. Because that's, right. You know, a little like proposing marriage on the first date. It, you know, it doesn't, like, you may not, you haven't listened.
Yeah. And even if it turns out your cookie cutter solution is actually a great solution for them, they're still not going to, like, they're not very likely to believe it is if you didn't take the time to find out what it is that they need. And also, honestly, you'll typically make more sales and better sales if you do take that time and learn, because you can make a real recommendation to them. So
say, yeah. Say a little bit more about better sales, because I think that's a really key point here.
So better sales could mean a lot of things, right? Sales that stick, right? In other words, the person, like, they don't get into this buyer's remorse and wanting to cancel and all that stuff. Sales that have people coming back for more, because it really was the right thing for them. So now when they want more, they're going to be, I'm going to go back there, right? Sales that lead to referrals, because again, you took care of them. You gave great service as part of how you did the sales. It was a good match. They felt taken care of. They felt respected. They would send their mom to you. And if they're going to send their mom, they'll also send their coworker, their aunt, their neighbor, their whatever. So sales that lead to referrals, all of those are better sales than sales that it's like, you just barely kind of made the connection and they paid you. And then they were like, yeah, but I don't want to do that again.
Yeah. And so what are the steps that people need to be taking then as you build a sales culture or a sale, like, or, you know, like as you build your sales muscles, I guess, you know, as a solopreneur, as a you know, somebody that is running a business, like what are the steps that you need to be going through? Like, how do you get started here to get maybe a little more comfortable, I guess, with making offers and doing sales?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things I can say about all of this. So the first thing is, sales is the single most important skill you need in business. Hands down, period.
Hands down.
It's more important. It's more primary and more important than marketing. Marketing is just an expense if you can't get a sale at the end of it, period. And a lot of people, when they're just starting out, they make the mistake of trying, they kind of put the cart before the horse. They try to figure out their marketing before they know how to sell. So they're like, I'm going to get a website, I'm going to do it and all this stuff. And they haven't even sold anything yet, or they've had 3 clients. You don't know what your marketing message is until you've sold a whole bunch of stuff, because you have to have those conversations with people to find out. You might think you know why they want what you offer, but you could be very wrong, right? And you need to find, they will hand you your marketing language, right?
So
yes. You have to have those sales conversations in order to figure out what your marketing will be. And you can make money without without like advertising and that. I mean, there's like, you're gonna have to do like networking kind of marketing, right? You're gonna need to just shake your own network a bit, let people know what you're doing, right? But you can make sales from that if you know how to sell. And in the process, that you will get the information you need to start marketing and move beyond that. But a lot of people make the mistake. I just had someone reaching out to me today saying, hey, I'm just getting started as a healer, which is a lot of who I serve. I'm really getting stuck on my website. Is that something you can help me with? And even the first thing I said was, well, actually, what I usually recommend is don't go get it when you're first getting started. I don't recommend you try to get a website. You're going to get exactly the reason you get bogged down. You don't know what you're saying. And having a website that makes you money, 2 very different things.
Very different things. And if you don't have the messaging, then what you're putting up is not going to actually resonate. And it might actually do damage in the sense of wasting your time with a whole bunch of unqualified leads.
Absolutely. And plus your time, your money, all of that. So yeah. I really, you know, to like to steer people away from that and steer them back into, getting back to your question. You got to just get over. If you're like, I don't like sales, and you realize you're trying to avoid sales, you got to just, sorry, you know that old Bob Newhart skit? Stop it.
Like, yes. Yes.
Stop it.
Stop it. Yes.
You need to have conversations. You need to learn how to sell what you do. And if you're not willing to do that, honestly, hang it up, give yourself a break, be kind to yourself, and just say, I'm not going to do it. If you're not willing to do sales, don't try to be in business. Right. So, and sales doesn't have to be gross and yucky and all of those things. So that's where I come in. But you really do have to make the decision. You're just going to learn. You're going to learn how to do sales, because guess what? It's just a set of skills.
It really is. It's just a set of skills. It's just a way of framing your mindset and, you know, getting into what helps me at least is knowing that when I go into any kind of a call like that, where I'm trying to be the troubleshooter. I'm trying to be the, you know, tell me more, like, you know, like, cause maybe I'm not the right person for them, but I know a lot of people. So like, I'm okay with saying,
exactly.
You know what? I don't do the sales stuff. You should talk to Anne, and let me connect you with her, because I would rather refer them to you or, you know, somebody in the network, than try to, you know, like come out of my zone of genius or like, you know, try to do something that I'm not good at, or like, you know, that I don't teach people to do. So I want to have the curiosity and then it becomes a conversation, a two-way mm-hmm. conversation, not I'm pitching. Like, I don't even like that word. Like, I'm not pitching. I mean, you know,
I think it's not a very empowered word. Once you can just, if you just make the decision, okay, I'm just going to, and even if you're, the other thing I'll say, even if you're a little further along, you've made a few sales, right? And you realize that you don't suck at it anymore. You're like, you can do some, but you're not doing as well. And you might be like, oh, maybe it's time for me to hire a salesperson. You really need to know how to do it yourself before you hire a salesperson.
Yes.
Because a salesperson speaking of someone who's made a living as a salesperson isn't going to want to work for you if you haven't already figured out how to sell your stuff. I'm just saying, like, that's not a gig any salesperson will take.
Well, because if you don't know how to articulate it, how are you going to tell them how to articulate it? I mean, they're not going to learn your business. That's not what they're there for.
Exactly, right? And I mean, they need to learn it some, but like you have to be able to explain it to them. And so you might as well be doing those sales yourself, right? Not having to pay them. And so I'm really trying to slash away the things that people are, other things that they're putting up so that they don't have to learn sales. It's like, no, you can't do it with marketing is not a substitute for sales.
No.
Hiring a salesperson is not a solution until you already know how to sell and you've gotten to a certain level of business. I'd say multi 6 figures typically before it makes any sense to hire a salesperson, except for maybe like an event or something that would be different. But so you don't have that. You got to learn it. You just got to learn it. So how do you learn it? And let's talk about, we kind of started talking before about, you know, the paradigms, right? I think... So learn it from, I'm just going to say, someone like me and not there's like some very old, to me, they're very outdated paradigms of sales that are out there and that are still being taught. And I know because I've taken some of those courses and worked for companies where that's more what's happening. And so they're really coming, this what I consider to be a very outdated paradigm. They're coming from a very male energy. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I am not knocking male energy. I love male energy. I have a lot of it myself. And it has a place in sales. There needs to be a little bit of that. But that the old school, if you think any of you have ever done sales training, you'll recognize this. Like, what did they say? Look at the language that's used. Every sales training ever has this section on overcoming objections. I mean, that is the language they use.
Yep.
Literally overcoming them. What are you, a bulldozer? You know, I mean, how about listening to them, addressing them, seeing if you can resolve them. No, overcome them. That's what's taught, right? You know, always be closing, get out there and crush it, everything. The language of sales is very male. And honestly, I'm sure there's some industries out there that still works. That's fine. It's a match, right? But for coaches, healers, more kind of service oriented.
Yeah.
Mission-oriented people, it just doesn't work. It's just not, that's why it feels so yucky. It's not male or female. That paradigm, that approach to sales is what feels yucky. It doesn't work for us. It's not authentic, right? So what's becoming, I think, more of how sales is sold is how sales is sold, how sales is taught and done. And certainly what I do, that, you know, it's people say heart-centered sales. I use that term. I also say soulful sales, right? It is genuinely coming from the more authentic female energy, which is more about relationship and connection.
Yes.
Male energy fundamentally is about the transaction.
Yes.
Right? It's more transactional. And that's important. The transaction is important. But you know, we were talking earlier about like good sales experiences and bad sales experiences, right? You can tell when the person who has something to sell you is putting the transaction as being more important than the relationship. You can tell.
And I think that that's where, like, when you are in a space where you're almost, when you're on that roller coaster in the revenue stream and you're on the downside and you kind of need the client and you kind of need to pay the mortgage and you start to get into that lack mentality and like, oh my gosh, you do start to put subconsciously, even you put the transaction before the relationship. And that's when people run away because they know it.
And you can tell the difference. You can tell when the person dealing with you is putting the relationship and you as being more important than the transaction. It doesn't have, it's not like the relationship's this and the transaction here, they could just be right below it. Okay. But it is below it. Like, you're not going for the transaction at the expense of being respect. I'm not saying that you can't, like, especially, you know, for selling stuff like something like coaching, right? I'm not saying you have to just be nice and like make people comfortable, because honestly, comfort is not going to get them what they want, right? Mm-hmm. So you might still want to be straight with them, right? But you can be straight with someone about the difference that something will make for them and where they're, you know, finding out where they hang, where they get stuck, the things at home. This is imagining selling coaching, right? What are the obstacles they face? What do they do, and how what I have to offer can help with that. You can do that in a way where you're kind of holding them accountable a little bit. You know, you're just being straight. Yep. Reality is they're not going to get any different results if they don't do something different, right? And accountability and all those things that coaching provides make a huge difference. So you can do all of that, but it's inside of you're being respectful, you're being caring, you're listening, you're responding to that individual in front of you, as opposed to a cookie cutter. This is how you sell coaching. You press on this pain point, then you press on that pain point, press on that pain point, right? That's.
And we talked about the pain point a little bit, mm-hmm. Because, you know, that is a lot of what old school teaches is like camp, but they hammer the pain point. And it's like to the point where, like, honestly, if you don't get this widget, you like life is over as you know it. And here's that's my crazy.
Your favorite, right? So let's say it's something in coaching. Let's say it's business coaching, because everybody who's listening here is, you know, either bought business coaching or had it offered to them, whatever. And hopefully you said yes to some of that and made a big difference for you, because I wouldn't be where I am right now if I didn't. I'm still paying a lot for business coaching and it's working.
100%.
Okay. So, but here's stuff I've seen where people, like, they present, here's the thing, you know, we've gotten, they find out what's going on with you and this and that, and here's the solution, and here's all these stats and all this stuff, right? And then the person still says no, you know, like, I don't, whether they say I can't afford it, or I don't know if I'm ready, or any of the stuff that they say. And honestly, most of what they say as objections is baloney. Let's be honest, right? Well, so we can talk about that too. But to them, it's not baloney, right? So you listen, but then the salesperson comes back with, because they're saying no to this course, right? Oh, so what you're saying is you're not committed to your business.
Yeah. I've heard that, and that pisses me off. Yeah.
Oh, if someone said that to me, I might punch them.
Yeah.
Partly because it's so disrespectful, and partly because they are, because as a fellow salesperson, I'm like, you are making all the rest of us look bad, because that's below. Look, it may be true. First of all, sorry, I get very animated about this. I just said that right now. I was like, oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you the flip side though. I might say some version of that to someone. But it wouldn't be coming from, it would be, so let's really look. How committed are you at this time to moving forward in your business in this way? Like, there's no shame about it. It's just like, hey, sometimes people aren't that committed yet. And like, you could just meet them there and like acknowledge that's not where they are. They're not ready to make that kind of a commitment. Mm-hmm. That's good for them to be clear about. You know, right? It's not a pressure thing. It's just a, like, let's really look at that.
Yeah. Right?
That's similar words, totally different place that you're coming from.
Yeah.
It's one is manipulative, and the other is actually respectful and meeting the person where they are and acknowledging that, hey, not everyone is in a place, you know, emotionally and otherwise, ready to make a big commitment. Like, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Let's just be straight about it, right?
Well, and if the person can walk away with more clarity about what they shouldn't be doing, as opposed to, you know, going to the next webinar or the next masterclass and having the same conversation, or getting, you know, now feeling that they do have to spend the money because
the only way I can prove I'm committed is to spend money. It's like, yeah, you know, I mean, there's an element of truth to that, let's be honest, right? But it's not as simple as that. Right.
It's not a, it's more complicated than that. And so if somebody can walk away with some clarity, even if they don't walk away as a client, then like, you still won.
Yeah, exactly. I always say, look, a clear and empowered yes. Great. A clear and empowered no. Also great.
Yes. Also great. Also great. Cause really what sales is, and this is, My dad back in the day would tell me this, is like, it's not about the transaction. It's about helping people make a decision, yes or no,
exactly.
And being comfortable with that decision when they walk away.
Yes.
So then you don't have the people say yes and then, you know, need refunds or whatever, and you're going through that because they're having doubts because you kind of push them into something that they shouldn't really be doing. But you've also got people that are walking away saying, you know, no, and or no, not right now.
Yeah, and actually,
like, talk to me in 6 months.
Feeling solid like, about it. And out. You are who they'll come back to later when they're ready or yeah. send someone to you because of the way you treated them, right? It's like Maya Angelou, right? Famous quote from her. You know, I've learned that people will forget what you said and they'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And those are the, you know, when you remember how someone, even though they were in sales, right? But you felt great because they listened to you and they took care yes. of you. Right. And they actually put you as being more important than whether or not they got that commission. And those are the salespeople that actually make the most money in my experience,
they
because
yeah.
they're really
yeah.
good at what they do.
Because they put the relationship first.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and how can people learn a little bit more? I think you might have a gift that might help them with learning a bit more.
I
about
do. It's called Sales Conversation Secrets, Heart-Centered Sales Made Simple. And it is a great training guide on basically the ins and outs of a sales conversation, helping people lead. Sales really is, it's just helping people, it's guiding them to a decision that actually, I'm going to go into a tiny little tangent before I come back to the gift. But what okay. you're saying about your dad, like people make a decision, yes or no, they feel comfortable with. I'm going to say that they feel confident with. And the reason I say that is because sometimes it's very uncomfortable, but it was still the right decision. Right.
Fair. Yeah.
You really yep. had to push yourself. It was downright scary. It was even terrifying. But it was a good decision.
If you've ever paid for a high ticket offer, like a really high ticket offer,
yeah,
you
comfort is not
that,
really
those
what,
are not
comfort
comfy.
Is not what's present, but confidence. And when you are
but confident,
you can handle a lot of discomfort.
Yes. You'll figure it out.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make that little thing. But so back into helping people. So it one of the things that people get really hung up is right at the beginning of conversation where, you know, when someone asks you about what you do or they ask to find out more about what you do. And a lot of people make the fatal error right then and they start to answer the question. They start to tell people more and they just all of them.
Yeah, like, blurred it all out. Yeah.
We've all done it and seen people's eyes glaze over. We also all have had it done to us, right? It's happening yep. all over the world right now. Millions of conversations. And what is, I call it the tell me more trap. It's the tell me more trap. People say, oh, tell me more about that. Not knowing, not realizing that they are laying this trap for you and you fall right in and then you pull them in with you because they're like, I didn't really want to know all that. So there are millions of tell me more trap conversations happening right now all over the world. So this will teach you how to avoid the tell me more trap, what to do instead, and then what additional steps sort of after that initial part to do so that you actually really are connecting from the heart, listening, asking good questions, and then in a position so you can make a recommendation to them at the end of this conversation that is really solid because you found out what they needed. So it will take you all the way from the tell me more trap into what I call the expert opinion recommendation, which is a recommendation that people are very likely to respond well to because of everything that led up to it. So that is my free gift to you all. And I think you'll find if you just start applying what you learn in there. It's going to, in fact, if you even just apply step one, if the only thing you do is step one, it will make a profound difference in your results.
Because at the end of the day, I mean, we're not saying don't sell. Like that's the opposite of what we're saying. Like we are saying sell. We are saying offer. We are saying, you know, like serve the people that you're meant to serve. And be paid fairly for it. 100%. But it doesn't have to be like this heavy lifting and this, you know, like you need to have a shower every time you have a conversation.
Yeah. I mean, when sales feels like effort and it feels like force, that's the wrong kind of sales.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when sales, you're doing it this way, it just feels like a flow.
So that free gift will be in the show notes, folks. So just go and even the first one, even just like step one, and you'll
the
be
only
improving.
Thing to change is step one. Yeah, I promise.
And any final words before we leave off? Any final kind of couple of thoughts to leave people with so that they are embracing sales more?
Yeah, I think because we have all, first of all, you got to be straight, the fact that there is all this negativity around sales, right? And like, to just be honest that that's there and that there's some of it in you and some of it in whoever you're talking with. And so don't try to pretend that's not there, right? And partly because of that, we have this, we kind of end up with this belief that like, we have to be someone else in order to sell. Like,
yeah.
Into some other kind of person that we don't want to be. So I want you to know that's 100% not true. Being yourself, like just your authentic self, is actually the most important thing in sales, paired with, it's kind of two most important things at the same time, actually getting the skills, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't have the skills, and it's just a set of skills, like you learned how to ride a bike, you learned how to play an instrument, you can learn this, okay? But if you don't have the skills the situation requires, of course you're going to fall on your face. Every time, just like if you walked out on stage and you were supposed to be playing an instrument that you've never played before, it's not going to go well, right? So know that you can be yourself and get some skills. And this free gift for you is a great place to start. Yeah. And then you will start to realize that sales can be a really, really wonderful experience. And the bottom line is, if you want to make a difference in the world, the way you do that is by selling people stuff.
Yeah.
That's how you got to sell people your stuff. And when you do, you can change the world.
Yeah. Awesome. Change the world, folks. And you can do that with your sales approach, and you can absolutely have fun with it and be yourself and, you know, serve the people that you need to serve in the way that makes the most sense. So thanks everyone for listening. Thank you, Anne, for joining us on Kickstart the Conversation. For everyone out there, stay curious, ask questions, and we will see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Well, that's it for today's episode of Kickstart the Conversation. Thank you so much for tuning in and spending your time with us. We hope you found our discussion about leads, lists, and leveraging relationships helpful. As we've learned, asking well-designed questions is the key to kickstarting conversations with your ideal clients, building authentic relationships, and ultimately driving more sales. So get out there and start asking those intentional questions. Your ideal clients are waiting for you. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. While you're at it, leave a rating and review and be sure to share it with your friends. We have lots of great conversations coming up every week that you won't want to miss. Until next time, keep asking great questions and kickstarting those conversations.